Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is a recorded edition of Soundcheck. It first aired in November of this year. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Composer Steve Reich helped define the musical movement known as minimalism, but over the years, the ideas in his works have been anything but minimal. From the legacy of the Holocaust, to nuclear testing and genetic cloning, to an upcoming project about Islamic terrorism, Reich's work has grappled with some of the biggest issues of our time. A new recording of his latest work, called You Are, Variations, has just been released by Nonesuch Records and actually takes a surprising view of spirituality. Steve Reich, great to see you again.
Good to see you again, John.
You Are, subtitled Variations, combines a lot of things that have been really important to you for a long time.
That's true.
I mean, there's the whole element of faith, philosophy, early music even is kind of woven into this very contemporary piece. What was the genesis of this work?
Well, the piece before it, which is also on the record, Cello Counterpoint, was a very difficult piece to pull off, a lot of detailed interlocking lines. And when I finished it, I thought, time for, you know, sort of just taking it easy, doing what I know how to do, start off with a pulse, let's see what happens. I made a kind of harmonic ground plan, because that's how variations have been done traditionally. And I started, and I think if you heard the first few notes, you think, what is this, the desert music with different notes? And then what you hear at the very beginning is very familiar, but somehow it's just sort of very nice, and, you know, you like. And then halfway through the first movement, things begin to really change as the four pianos take to the fore. But the attitude was very much, I know how to do certain things, I love doing them, let's do them, let's see what develops, rather than let's make a new piece.
Right. Now, you say you started with the pulse. I would have thought that you would have started with choosing the text.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry, I jumped over that. You're absolutely right. Not only did I start with it, all during writing a Cello Counterpoint, I travel when I'm on the road with my laptop, and I must have 25 save as versions of the text, all in Hebrew, all in English, completely different texts, the ones you have there but in a different order, etc., etc., etc. I put in 6 months getting these. Everybody looks at the text and says, well, that must have been 5 minutes.
Right, you know? Four single lines of text.
Four single lines of text. Should we put the listeners out of their agony and let them hear what they are?
Yeah.
So the first one is, you are wherever your thoughts are, which comes from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who died in 1810, and was perhaps the most magnetic of the Hasidic mystics. The second text is said in Hebrew, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi. In English, I place the Eternal before me. It's from the 16th Psalm. It's a short break. The third text is from Ludwig Wittgenstein. In English, explanations come to an end somewhere. And the last text, taken from the Pirkei Avot, a part of the Talmud, a very popular part, says, Emor Ma'at Va'asei Harbe, which in English, say little and do much.
Mm-hmm. So, not the first time that you've chosen texts that could be seen as self-referential.
Absolutely. Why else write music?
In the case of Wittgenstein,
right.
Who has, again, long been an interest of yours since college, as I recall.
Absolutely, yeah.
The idea that explanations end somewhere just sort of leads you right in, you're into Rabbi Nachman territory. You're into mysticism there.
Well, yeah, that's one way of looking at it, but you're also into a good, hard physical science. I mean, Sir Isaac Newton was a genius, and everything he said was true. But we learned in this century that Einstein said, well, yes, what Newton is true, but it's a particular case. In odd cases that we don't see every day, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, maybe when you were a kid, it was atoms, protons, and neutrons. And then we found, oh, hey, man, there's quarks, you know, and they're even small. And then, wait. Now there's string theory. Mm-hmm. Everything's really music. So every 20, 30, 40 years, the trap door opens, and in, you know, the most basic science of all, physics, we find out, oh, there's another way of looking at the universe. Now, when I did the piece, Three Tales, and interviewed all these scientists, you know, James Watson discovered DNA and so on and so forth. One thing I asked all of them was, do you ever anticipate physical reality being completely investigated and science coming to an end? And every one of them said, absolutely not. Now, what does that say? That says that basically this is an infinite endeavor. And the human beings, you know, what we know is, let's say, on 1 to 100, one. Mm-hmm. And the other 99 is waiting for us. So it is, as you say, can be taken in a spiritual way. And it can also be taken as it's just a mark of human limitation.
So the German philosopher, the Eastern European Hasidic mystic, the biblical psalm, I mean, there's a connection, there's a thread running, there's a string theory running between these.
Well, I'd be hard-pressed to spell it out, but somehow the texts seem to work together. Basically, the first text, you are wherever your thoughts are, is, of course, true of us. We can be sitting here, but we may be thinking of what we're having for dinner or all kinds of other things, and we were here in body, but somebody would have to tap us on the shoulder to bring us back into the room.
Right.
But it's also a great description of listening to music. If you have, you know, headphones on like we do now, and you're really listening to something, where the music goes, you go. If you're doing the dishes, well, a little bit less so. But
right.
Still, if you listen at all, that's where you travel. It also describes the fact that our minds wander and really cover a lot of territory. And the first movement is by far the longest and by far the most harmonically varied.
Now, you said that it did begin to wander halfway through. It sort
yes.
of went a place you didn't expect.
Exactly so. And I welcomed that and embraced it and found out a whole lot of harmonic combinations that I would normally not have found because of this kind of let it be attitude, which served the piece very well. And the second movement, Shiviti Hashem Lenegdi, I placed eternal before me, goes back to, for those musicians listening, the 2-chord, the 4-chord, the 5-chord, and the 6-chord. Basically, the Beatles, most mm-hmm. rock and roll is built out of those chords.
Right.
As to say nothing of most Handel and Haydn and Mozart. So it goes from something which is really wandering around, really beginning to get kind of dark, actually, and then focuses on this very, very clear, very traditional, but somehow new because the harmonies move very slowly.
Well, this is a little bit of the second movement of the You Are Variations, the new recording on None Such Records featuring music by my guest, Steve Reich. Steve Reich, one of the things that your music has always been is rhythmic, and very often those rhythms have come from the text. Hebrew is an accented language, right? I mean,
John, to be honest with you, really, the rhythms here are rhythms that I discovered writing Tehillim, which was also in Hebrew.
Right, settings of psalm texts.
But those same rhythms appear in the desert music with William Carlos Williams. They appear in sextet, which has no words at all. They become a part of my vocabulary. And to be completely honest, these constantly changing meters are probably the fruit of me having listened to Stravinsky and Bartok when I was a kid.
Okay. Now, you told the Toronto Globe and Mail that, you know, very early on, people conceived of me as a very systematic, quasi-mathematical composer. It was a mistake even then.
Right.
I mean, so you feel kind of misunderstood by the music world at large?
Well, I mean, I feel very fortunate at large. I mean, given, you know, like Bartok died, you know, barely able to support himself, and I've done, you know, better than I mean, I could feel very guilty about, you know, something like that. I feel very, very fortunate. No, there is a misunderstanding, I think, in that people do assume when they hear a piece like, let's say, Four Organs, very early piece, or some of the early phase pieces, that somehow there's some math lurking back there. They don't know what it is, but I must know what it is. And the answer is, I always put, you know, I got two systems. I wear one on the left-hand side, it's called my left ear, and the one on the right-hand side, it's called the right ear, and that's my system.
And, I mean, to people who have listened, I mean, some critics very early on cottoned on to the fact that there was this kind of ecstatic, you know, almost trance-like effect to some of your early pieces.
Right.
And that is built, I mean, it's an age-old phenomenon that we hear in traditions around the world.
Right.
Of repetition, of acceleration, things like that. Many of those are spiritual traditions elsewhere in the world.
Right.
When did that begin to really impact your music?
Well, I got re-involved in Judaism in 1974, 75, and by about 81, I wanted to bring it into my music, and that's when Tehillim happened. And Tehillim is also perhaps a kind of a relation of UR variations. It's definitely, at least a cousin.
Well, it, like the UR variations, it's in four parts.
Yep.
The third part is the slow movement, so
right.
to speak.
Yeah.
And maybe we can hear a little bit of the slow movement of these variations. Now, this is the Wittgenstein text.
Explanations come to an end somewhere.
And this, once again, is music from Steve Reich. Text by Wittgenstein, explanations come to an end somewhere, music by Steve Reich, and this is from the UR Variations, again the title coming from the first of the aphorisms that is the basis of this piece, You Are Wherever Your Thoughts Are. You are, Steve Reich, on some kind of a variations kick at the moment.
Apparently, yeah.
What's the next piece that you're working on?
A piece I'm working on right now is called Daniel Variations, and it's also a vocal piece. I found that working with text forces me to do things I wouldn't do otherwise, and I enjoy that. So the text in Daniel Variations comes, again, four short ones, comes from partly from the book of Daniel and partly from the last words of Daniel Pearl, the reporter who was murdered by Islamic extremists in Pakistan in 2002.
Mm-hmm. And is this, I mean, he was a musician himself, Daniel
Pearl. Exactly so. Daniel Pearl was a fiddle player. He played bluegrass and he played jazz fiddle. And I'll give you the following that up. There will be a string quartet which will have a lot to do in this piece. And the last text is, I sure hope Gabriel likes my music.
Wow.
Now, what is that? Well, when Daniel Pearl was, his writings were collected in different topics. One of them was music. A friend wrote a preface, and in this preface, the story I'm going to tell you came out. This friend and Daniel Pearl went on a camping trip, and the guy said to Daniel, what do you think is going to happen to you after you die? And Daniel Pearl says, after I die? He says, who knows? I have no idea. And he hesitated, and then he said, but I sure hope Gabriel likes my music. And the guy looked at him like, what? I'm going to drop it. Okay, cut. Daniel Pearl is beheaded. His parents go to this friend and say, look, would you please go to Danny's apartment and pack up his stuff for us? We'd really appreciate that. And he says, sure, I'd be happy to do that. Goes to the apartment, and Daniel Pearl has this enormous record collection with a lot of vinyl, a lot of old LPs. Front of the LPs is Stuff Smith, the black fiddle player from the 1930s. Stuff Smith and the Onyx Boys, 1936, first tune, I Hope Gabriel Likes My Music, written in 1935.
Wow. Holy cow. And so that'll be...
Footnote, the angel Gabriel is the one who bears dreams to all of us. And the first text of this thing is in the book of Daniel with Nebuchadnezzar speaking. And the first text says, I saw a dream, images upon my bed and visions in my head frightened me. So, we're four blocks from the World Trade Center,
right.
John, right now as we speak, right?
Right.
Okay, enough said.
So this will be the Daniel Variations.
This will be the beginning and the end of the Daniel Variations, yeah.
Wow. Well, as has often happened in the course of your career, big ideas in big pieces, often made out of very small little packets of music and text.
Right.
That is certainly the case with the UR Variations. It's out now on Nonesuch Records. Steve Reich, always a pleasure to have you here in our studio. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, John.
This is Soundcheck. that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, the first of two special programs with some of the best live performances on Soundcheck this year. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. The program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatau. Our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.